We do a lot of things. I'm an undiagnosed ADD person, but Carla diagnosed me. It fits really well because someone will say, Chi Alpha over here is a deaf person, need help. Oh, wait, over here there's some deaf women that have been in trafficking. Let's go help them. Let's go. And over here, we got to go over here because there's other ethnic groups that need Jesus, and they have some deaf people, and they don't know how to reach them. And so just one after another, we work with the Assemblies of God, and we work with it all. And that's a pretty big hat. We have to say, God, which door to go through, not is there a door to go through. Like, oh, Lord, there's so many doors. So, well, it's just an honor. We want to be worn out for Jesus and do all we can to reach as many deaf people with the gospel as we can. It's a privilege. We supervise 35 missionaries. 10 of those are deaf. 3 of those are in other countries. So we get to work and do world missions and U.S. missions just because we partner together with so many people in so many areas. I serve as a national representative for deaf ministries, and you guys have come alongside of us and helped us do that since they asked us to serve in that capacity. And that has happened. We work with our Assemblies of God districts, pastors, constituents, I mean, just everybody. Carla works with the ladies' ministries and the children's ministries and worship, as you've already seen and been blessed to be a part of that. We want to say thank you, though. You have allowed us the privilege to be able to evangelize deaf people and to train deaf leaders. As a matter of fact, probably by the time we finish church today, there'll be deaf people leading a church service in Missouri. And we know we can fully hand that baton to them and know they will do a good job. And know that they have that same love for people and for Jesus. I'm going to just open with a story. I've got this, you're probably thinking, deaf ministries, I don't know what this guy's doing with this outfit on, what's this about? Well, when I went to Africa, one of my times went to Africa, they made me a chief. And this was what they gave me. And I'm just going to explain it like this. We had been traveling and working and doing services day after day, and done a couple of weeks already. And they had told me, this was on a Sunday night, and they said, hey, Brother Kevin, go into your hotel and stay tonight. Tomorrow you fly on the plane, you go home. So just rest tonight. So I went in and I'm just beginning to go, oh, boy, this is great. I get to relax a little bit. You know, 115 degrees. We've been going on for days. You see the ADD kicking in. And then we had been working and just pouring our hearts out. We saw 300 deaf people come to Jesus. We saw 100 baptized in the Holy Spirit. We were so, yeah, praise God. You know, we did that together. We did that together. And I'm so thankful when I look into your face, I think we did it together. And God be glorified. So we're I'm tuckered out. You know, I've been working with these. And so glad to have a break. I hear a knock on my door. And I open the door, and it's Brother Cosmos. And he says, Pastor, do you want to come and preach in a church tonight? Come, you come with me tonight. And inside I went, oh, Lord. But outside I went, yes, let's go preach God's word. Let's go, Cosmos. And so we went. I don't know how Cosmos got commissioned to come to me. I have no idea about that. I don't know how it happened. But I just know some wonderful things did take place. There was a few things we weren't supposed to do. We weren't supposed to go out at night. We weren't supposed to go out on the mountain. I didn't, you know, I knew it was with Brother Cosmos. He had authority. It was okay to go with him. He was the Assemblies of God's national director for deaf ministries in Nigeria, and so he was the husband, and he was a pastor, so and he was okay to go with them. So we went, and I know why they said don't go on the mountain that night, because there's no guardrails, and you're going around the mountain, you're looking over, and stay on the road. But we got up there, and there's like 400 people up on the top of the mountain, and they're worshiping Jesus, and we get out of the car, and he leads me right straight to the platform. I get up, go up on the platform, and I just begin worshiping Jesus with them, and it's great. And then he says, they want you to tell them who you are. So I did my best. I went over and said, hey, I'm this little white guy that hears from America, you know. I mean, but I can't say, I'm Kevin Bavin. I'm here to work with deaf people because God loves deaf people. And he wants to bring them in. They have a soul. And, you know, and in some countries, that's kind of looked upon as like, we don't spend time with that people group because they're over here. You know, in America, we have a little bit more of a esteem raised level of working with deaf people through the American with Disabilities Act and such. But in other countries, they're kind of pushed aside. So it looks kind of silly in a way for me to come to another country to reach deaf people, to work with the Nigerian people to reach deaf people for God. So in that process, they began to... I just said that. They said, take 1 minute. So in 1 minute, I just summed up, this is what I do, so I am. And then they said, come with us. Now, worship continued, but the leadership of the church took me down a path. And it was like being in a Tarzan movie. It was awesome. It was like we walked, and there were like bushes on both sides. It was a beaten path. We walked. Then it was a great big, like a big, I don't know, it's like a rug or something, hanging on a cave. And they moved it over and went in. It was dark and kind of damp and lit up. And it really reminded me, like, it's like, this is awesome. Anyway, so I go over to the elders, the leadership there, and Brother Cosmos hands me a broken mirror. It's got like a sharp part in it, and he gives me the mirror, and he says, they want to make you a chief. They want to make you a chief. And I'm thinking, no, Brother Cosmos, you should be the chief. You should be the chief. They should make you the chief. He goes, no, they want to make you a chief. And I don't know what this means, but I got the mirror in my hands, and I said, oh, God, looking in the mirror, oh, God, help me be a good chief. Help me to take the responsibility of what it means. I don't know what it means, Lord, to be a chief, but help me. I'm just praying a sincere prayer. And I finish, and I'll go, amen. And then I hand back the mirror, and Brother Cosmos goes, no, that's to straighten your hat. Oh, just that's where I'm at. You know, that's where I really was. They still made me a chief even after that. But basically, then they lead me back out to the platform, and there's worship going on, and then he says, now you preach. Now I had asked the Lord, you know, when you're taking a step out, Lord, give me a word, God. I know I need a word from you. What should I preach and tell these people? And they were so gracious, and. But in the meantime, they called out my name. They said my chief name. And it kind of went by because it was in another language. And I let it go, and I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't know how to say it. But they said, now you preach. So I got up to preach, and I'm just going to take that part of the story and just place it on a shelf right there. We'll come back to it in a little bit, okay? But this is what happened. I began to open God's Word to the book of Luke and chapter 14. And we can begin there. It's the parable of the great banquet. And it was so impressed upon the Lord. And here it says, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all began... They all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Verse 19, another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen. 10 oxen. And I'm on my way now to try them out. Please excuse me. Verse 20, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly unto the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and to the country lanes, and make them, compel them, if you will, to come in, so that my house will be full. You can see the heart. I just made some observations I want to share with you in reference to these scriptures I've read to you. God's invitation is to be for all people. He wants all people to be saved. Those he has invited, and those, I say, the unexpected in some ways, but they will be there. Believers need to be sharing God's good news so others can come to Jesus. Only those who have put their faith in Jesus in his death and burial and resurrection can attend the wedding supper of the Lamb or the great banquet. Some of the invited guests will not make it because of their wrong priorities. They broke their promises or they got distracted. Others, the unexpected, will be there. I want to share with you just one of those unexpected that will be there. His name was Hal. Sign name was Hal. Hal was a well-known person in the community and a very eloquent speaker in sign language. If you want to be at the top In the community, you have to be able to communicate so well that other people drool when they watch you sign. Yeah. So signing well, knowing language well, and being able to express it gives status. Hal was one of those people, loved by much of the community. You'll see that in just a minute, how much. We have about 500 deaf people in the local community. We go all the time. We travel. We minister. But we also felt God saying, right here in Jerusalem, if you will, in Springfield, there are deaf people that need to know Jesus. And we said, God, when we're here, we will reach out. Hal was a popular person in the community. And Hal had found out that he had several things going on in his life physically they need help with. His liver was failing, his kidneys were failing, his heart was failing. Well-loved in the community. Well, I got a call to go visit Hal, and I went to the hospital, and he had tubes everywhere. I said, Hal, I'm leaving town tomorrow. That's not exactly how you start off, but I knew how critical this was. I said, I'm leaving town tomorrow, and I want to pray with you, and God will touch you and heal you. But more importantly, I want to pray with you because Jesus loves you, Hal. He's always loved you. Years before that, Carla and I had sat behind Hal in a church service, and we saw him shaking, but not willing to go forward to receive. I mean, we prayed specifically. We began praying in tongues, saying, you know, God, just whatever it was in his life, break that chain. Well, he's in a hospital bed, laying there, and I said, tubes, things hanging out, and he began to cry as I began to talk to him. And I prayed with him to accept Jesus. And I said, Hal, I love you, man. If I don't see you here on earth again, this great man of faith, if I don't see you here on earth again, I'll see you in heaven. And I left. Well, and I went to another state and ministered. Well, I heard Hal was doing so much better, he got out the hospital. Well, you know, I'm not supposed to be surprised, right? But I was. Whoa, thank you, God. Because he had some pretty major things going on. And from the diagnosis from the hospital, they had told me he may not make it. And so I recognized at that point that God was doing something in his life. We saw him several times after that. This was just a few months later. Hal was back in the hospital. We went to visit Hal there again. And upon entering the hospital hallway, there were deaf people, 30 or more deaf people all over the hallways. That's pretty uncommon. You may have two or three, but not 30 or 40 from a town of Springfield like that. Very popular person. I made my way through the hallway and went into his room. And when I got into his room, I said, Hal, I'm here to pray with you. He knew that his time was getting closer. And I said, I'm here to pray with you. And he says, wait, stop. It's almost like the equivalent of saying, get the microphone out. I want everybody to hear this. What he does, he tells his friends, blink all the lights. Blink the lights in his room, all the people around, he wanted them all to come around his bedside. And he said, now, Pastor, pray. And he copied me as I prayed. I prayed the sinner's prayer once again with him. I prayed for his healing once again. And God began to really move in his life. And then I recognized God gave me an opportunity right then to speak to the other deaf people around. And I said, just as Hal has made the decision to accept Jesus as his Savior, God loves you just as much and wants you to come to know him. Now, this just goes to show you. I had to leave town. I left state again. I left the state again. I said, Hal, I don't know if I'm going to see you again. But I want you to know that man, I'm so pleased in what decision you've made to accept Jesus and follow Jesus in your life. And all the people saw that great statement to all the people of the town. And I kind of titled this, how Hal and I had the privilege of sharing Jesus with most of the deaf people in town. But the next day, I'm out of state. I find out Hal had been living with a lady for at least since the last time I prayed with him, right? Well, Hal married that lady the next morning. He got the hospital chaplain to come down, and he married her. And I thought, wow. I didn't say you need to do this and this and this and this. It just in his heart, he knew that was the right thing to do, and he proceeded in his walk with God. And so, long story short, we've had the privilege of praying with Hal. Hal did go home to be with Jesus. But at the time of his funeral, we had five or six deaf men that had been trained, that shared God's word. We had 350 of the 500 deaf people in town were there at Hal's funeral. We had the wonderful privilege of sharing about Jesus with all of these deaf people. And then hundreds as well followed us to the graveside. So we had a chance to partner together with Hal. We all worked together in that effort. You know, and someone said it today. I said it was for such a time as this. God, writes Pastor Sid, God puts those things in our life and trains us along the way. So for such a time as this, Hal was one of those people, one of those unexpected people that we were able to touch, a deaf man that was a profound person in his language, in his communication, in sign language, and had made an impact on the community and had an opportunity to reach and touch some of the people that were really kind of maybe the hard people, all the people that maybe were resistant to the gospel, but their hearts were softened that day as we did pray and were there. You know, I want to tell you this a lot of times, and the Word of God says this as well. Sometimes people may not be able to repay you. Deaf people may not be able to repay you for the blessing that you've bestowed upon them. Jesus, I notice here in Luke 14:13-14, it says there, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, in verse 14, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. And I wanted to encourage you with that. You know, much of what we do, we invest into the eternal, what we can't see. But there will be a day. There will be a day. And I want you, when you get to heaven, look for Hal. I got a feeling he'll be looking for you too, because of the investment you made in his life, because you made a way for someone to be able to be there for such a time as this. Look for Hal. As I was saying, we had the privilege of working there and sharing God's word in that particular place in Africa. Let me go back to the text just a moment, okay? And I read you a few observations, but there were some things that were happening there. And when I read my Bible and the commentaries, some of the information I learned there tells me, it says, hey, back there in Bible times, just like even today, these had to be, a couple of excuses had to be just out-and-out lies. They basically, it was something like this, you know. He says, hey, I bought a field, and I got to go take a look at it. That'd be like saying, hey, I was on Amazon, and I saw this good land deal, so I bought it. You know, I was like, what? You know, you didn't go look at it? Well, okay. Anyway, in the second one, you know, he says, hey, please excuse me as well. I just bought 10 oxen, 5 yoke of oxen. And that would be like saying, I just bought a car, and I'm going to go look at it. You know, it's like, wait a minute, it's kind of, you can tell, it's flipped, it's not right. Back then, and even now, okay? And then the other one says, and this is a little bit unique, he says, you know, he just got married. I'm thinking, he had already given his word, he already promised to come to the banquet, but now he had to plan a marriage in there somewhere. So it was all right to be at the marriage. That's a responsibility, right? I know everybody would say, yeah, but he'd be there, you know. But at the same time, he has priorities a little mixed up. His responsibility is there. He should have had God first in his responsibilities. So in the first part, those first, they RSVP'd, but then they ignored the invitation. And so they, you know, they were doing things, different things they could do, but they needed to not put God second. And the second thing, the responsibilities were fine and well, but make sure to put God first. Just want to encourage you with that. As we continue to do the good things, the right things, we need to continue to have this relationship that we value. And boy, it reminds me, wonderful job, worship team. Thanks so much for your sensitivity to spirit. We super enjoyed that worship time. Got to also tell you a story about Joseph, okay? Now, see, one of the privileges we have in going to other countries is that we work with deaf people, and we know because as we work alongside of them, that's important. We don't do things for them. We don't see them as handicapped. We see ourselves as equivalents, you know, and we work with them one-on-one, side by side. We come alongside of them. First time we went to Africa, there were 3 deaf pastors. Next time we went to Africa, there were 13 deaf pastors. And we continue to work with them in building the pastorate there. We're going to partner again next year in 2018. We're going back to Africa to work with the Assemblies of God there again and build partnerships with our Assembly of God deaf churches in America, 89 of them. We're going with some of our deaf churches and pastors to Africa to partner with the deaf African pastors there. Because as they lead there, so much more they can do in their settings, and we want to bridge and work with them together. Well, here's a story. I'm in the church, and I'm talking to the people, and I mentioned to them, I said, how many of you can communicate with a deaf person? Well, I didn't expect them to raise their hand because they don't think that way. For the most part, they would not do that. But no one raised their hand. And then I told them the story, and it's about Joseph. And Joseph was a deaf man that had a deaf-blind friend. And then he led the deaf-blind friend everywhere. The deaf-blind friend would put his hand on his shoulder, and they'd walk together. And then once in a while, Joseph would stop and turn to him, and he would sign. It's called tactile communication, just signing in his hands. And the deaf-blind man knows how to know the feeling of the signs and would communicate that way very well. Expressed what was around him when it came to salvation, expressed him how to get saved. He decided to accept the Lord as his Savior. Beautiful. And he continued to do that ministry. We saw that ministry there at the international conference that we spoke at. And I remember that. And so I tell the story to the church there. And I tell them, how many of you can communicate with a deaf-blind person? Well, I know the answer is no. No one's going to raise their hand. But it's okay. And I said, God gave me this insight to encourage them to see the value of deaf people. Because I said, God so loved the deaf blind man, he died. What's the value of a soul? One soul. God died for it because the soul is so precious. God so loved the deaf blind man that he called and prepared the deaf man to be that conduit, to be that person to reach him. So that another unexpected person, you can say the lame, the cripple, the blind, whatever. It's another unexpected person, someone that said, I'll accept that invitation. I'll come to that great banquet. You can count on me. God, I want your house to be full. You know, I'll be there. I mean, God had prepared, if you will, the master had prepared all this settings for people to come. And some had just foolishly turned it down, ignored the invitation. And now God's reaching out to others. And we have the privilege of being in a place where we can actually reach out to these other people and just tell them about Jesus in their own language with respect to their culture. We're grateful to have the chance to come alongside. We all have gifts, and my encouragement is that we would use those gifts to the best of our ability and know that God will use us. He will use us right where we are. I'm going to go back to the chief story now. If I just kind of pull it off the shelf and bring it down here. But you can imagine, I shared God's word and just encouraged the people about filling God's house, reaching out and loving people, and sharing good news with other people, and particularly with deaf people around the world. Just go and try to encourage that church of that neighbor that God brings to us. Say, God, what can I do? How can I be used by you? Help me just to humble myself and just to be sensitive to your spirit. What words can I say to this person? What actions can I share? Can I use? You know, just being real down to earth and trying to encourage the church. And then service was over, but people responded so well to the service. And you know, I'm not supposed to be amazed by that either, right? Okay, it was just a good hearty response, and people would come up to pray and worship, and we prayed with lots of people, and it was wonderful. And then we went back to the car, and so then it dawns upon me, oh, that's right, I just was made a chief. What does this mean, you know? So I asked Brother Cosmos. I said, Brother Cosmos, what's my name? What's my name? I'm Chief who, you know? He says, you're Nwana Nenamba. I said, what? Let me write it down. What's the first letter? What's the second letter? I spell out the name. And then I finished spelling out the name, and I start to say it, Nwana Nenamba. What's it mean? What's my name mean? Who am I? What, you know, what have they just labeled me as? What have they just said is the culmination of my life, is what I should say. And he said, you are a brother to the deaf at the diaspora, meaning where the deaf people were dispersed around the earth. And I went, wow, that's what God has called us to do. That is what God, and they summarized my life. I left Louisiana in 1981, and we met between 81 and 84. I know that for sure. It was the first time it came to the church with the 10th Coin Ministry. That's how I remember that. When Carla was speaking, I went, oh yeah, I was there. Yeah. That was the first time. But I was just like a kid following, you know, just kind of learning, you know. And so I asked my name. He tells me my name, and then he tells me what it means. And I recognize, for such a time as this, God has continued to work in our lives. Continue to do things in our life. And from those days when I did not know sign language to the days where we have the privilege of working with presidents, queens, we've had some wonderful, one queen. Okay, not, she says queens. Okay, one queen. But, Queen of England, yes. But just, boy, it's just, life is a daring adventure or nothing, you know? It's just, it's been just wonderful. And it's not over, but it's wonderful. And we're looking forward to doing so much more for the Lord. We've been able to do pastor schools where we train deaf pastors. Doors have opened for us in so many ways. And we don't go out and say, we want to do this, hello. But we've been invited to this, opportunities and privileges. And as we continue to remember some of the things, like, and Carla reminds me about this all the time, is, Don't try to be here, just be yourself and just, you know, just share your heart. And I think things are more effective that way. And we share that with, that's the thing that we bring to the table in working with deaf pastors. Being real about where we are and really crying out and praying with each other and supporting one another. And you know, it's a tough place to be sometimes. What I mean by that is being a deaf pastor in a deaf church can be a tough place to be. They just don't have a lot of people they can go to. They can't just go help them with resources to better be effective with the ministers there. I'm going back to the text just for my last time here. And the master says, he says, come, everything is ready. And some did not come. But he did. He did send his servant out. And I love the attitude of the servant. What you ordered has been done. I'm doing everything that you know you want me to do, God. I love that because that's a concept of obedience, a concept of humility, doing all he can because he knows what it is to serve the master so that his house will be filled. And I guess my question is, if you haven't already, will you accept God's invitation to have a relationship with him? He sent his son Jesus so that we can have a relationship with him. Everyone is invited at the table, at the banquet. Everyone is invited to have a relationship with Jesus. And then other, I ask the church, are we inviting others to the great banquet to come to know the Master? He's prepared the way, if you will. He's prepared the food. He's prepared the plan. And he wants everyone to live forever with him. Say yes to God. And pray about who God wants you to share Jesus with this week. Amen? Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. God wants fellowship with us. He wants to be a part of our life. So we want to say, open up to God. Allow him a fair chance. Just give Jesus a fair chance. Amen.